this is our laboratory. This is a view from my office window into the laboratory. We've got a lab right now on two floors because it's grown so much, and it's nice being, I am at a good place because it is rapidly growing, and toward that end, we are not resource poor, we're resource rich. And so it allows us to do kind of the magnitude of how we can actually analyze which instrument to bring on is very flush. We didn't have people saying you're spending too much money doing this evaluation. And so what I'm going to tell you today about is just our evaluation that resulted in us choosing the EasyMag as our nucleic acid extractor for both our development and our clinical laboratory. We are a clinical laboratory that has things like electron microscopy, no problem. It's a large development area, and we try to stay on the cutting edge. And toward that end, the evaluation of the extractors was done in our test development, esoteric testing, advanced diagnostics area. And when you roll that out to the clinical area, one of the important things is to have a similar sort of mindset, to have the same buy-in, if you will, from the clinical folks and the development folks. And it's interesting, when we did this evaluation in 2006, we had not implemented Lean, which is in another talk in this general symposium. And Lean is a method. It's a culture, but it's also a method whereby a part of it is you just analyze logically what does it take to get to a result. You know, not only how much does the machine cost, but how efficient is it? How much does the tech time does it take? How many steps? How complex? And that's really what we did, even though we didn't have Lean in the laboratory. At this point, we do have Lean in the laboratory. We went back and actually used Lean methods to evaluate what we had chosen based on kind of direct observations of the techs who did the analysis. And indeed, it supported in a data-driven way what we emotionally had decided on. Good. So impact of automation, sure, standardization's a no-brainer. Yes, if you have an automated extractor, you will have a more standardized method than if you have a manual extraction. And until 2007, we were all manual with a QIAGEN kit. And that thing I'm sure about, is it more efficient? It depends, really. It may or may not be more efficient than the manual method. It may or may not be less cost, more cost. And the quality of the sample may or may not be better. And so those were really the questions we wanted to ask. If you looked into the literature, actually this is after we did our evaluation, because at the time we did our evaluation, there was almost nothing about the EasyMag out there except a couple of posters I'd seen indicating that there was less a likelihood of contamination by the magnetic beads at the end of the extraction, which can really screw up your PCR, with EasyMag. And EasyMag tended to be give you a better quality, probably is what it boils down to, of nucleic acid, such that at the lower limits of detection, it was a better instrument than the EasyOne, which is what I'd seen at the comparison. But when we looked into this, you know, at a later date, when we decided to publish this, there's a billion different ways to evaluate an extractor, and there was nothing in the literature that could really help you in great detail other than to say automated extractors are really pretty good, and they're pretty good as it compares to the manual method. But you can see here, you know, one extractor, many targets, like here, multiple extractors in labs, one or few targets, few extractors, few organisms, few matrices, and so there are a million ways to go about it. And all we wanted to do, we actually weren't going to publish this. It wasn't in our plan, so we didn't set up a study to publish it. We just set up a study to say, in our laboratory, what's going to be the best extractor. And so in part of the determination, the question is, what is your endpoint? And our endpoint was just being able to reproducibly amplify a target from the extracted nucleic acid and get a good limit of detection as it related to our gold standard, which was the QIAGEN manual. And so if you look at how the literature said, you know, how are you going to assess that? The quality of your nucleic acid extracted, one is PCR amplification and the target quantitation. And so they just said, how much nucleic acid do I have extracted? And so it didn't really get to the end question, which was, how well does it amplify? PCR amplification and the comparison, you know, as Dr. Yen said, the CT, that where it crosses the cycle threshold, basically gives you an idea of how much is there, and then direct quantitation of nucleic acid. And so this one involved amplifying and then saying, how much do we have? This one involved saying, how much nucleic acid do we have? And this one is probably more similar to what we ended up doing. So our purpose was to evaluate two automated extractors most recently released, and it was the EasyMag and QIAGEN's EasyOne, and it's because we wanted a moderate, we didn't want a high volume, we wanted a moderate volume in our clinical laboratory. And we just compared it with whatever we had, which was the QIAGEN manual extraction. And we used a variety of nucleic acid targets from diverse sample types commonly found in the pediatric micro lab. So it was just a practical. And as I said before, we didn't intend to publish this, but as we shared the results with both BMRU and QIAGEN, they both encouraged us to publish the results. So it actually came out, I think, a couple of months ago in the Journal of Molecular Diagnostics. And so this is what we were doing at the time. This is our manual extraction, which, how many of you guys do manual extractions? Can I see hands? Yeah, for all your stuff? Yeah, we still do manual for occasional samples that are very, very viscous. And this is the EasyMag, and this is the EasyOne, and I'll just let you know that going into this, I had my biases, because I'd worked with QIAGEN forever, and I thought the EasyOne was going to be our choice, and it ended up not being our choice. And it wasn't related so much on the quality of the product, but on the operational efficiency of the system. So what do we do? Pertussis, which is, you know, the genome really is DNA within some RNA, okay? And then the matrix, we use BAL, yeah, we use swabs, but it was kind of bizarre. We couldn't figure out how to compare a swab among the extraction methods. So we thought, well, you know, we use BALs a lot, and not for pertussis, but you know, nucleic acid comes in BALs, so we just thought we'd you know, put it in BAL. HSV2, obviously in CSF, same as the enterovirus. And these two, the design was very clear on these two, because we use CSF to detect these two. They're different types of organisms with respect to their nucleic acid, and those two were very, very important for us to keep in the matrix that we get them in. The BK, we decided to go with plasma for that, and pneumoniae, there's only one article out there that deals with samples as viscous as ETTs, and that's sputum. And so we were very, very anxious to have a viscous sample in our mix, and since mycoplasma is one of the things that was requested in ETT samples, we went with mycoplasma in that. And so what we did was, the Nicola Dundas actually did the work in our development area, and she went to the micro lab and got just tons of ETTs, and we tested them for the organisms of interest and found they did not have them, they were negative. And so we used pooled sample matrices, if you will, to try to standardize it. So there's pooled ETT stuff, pooled BALs, pooled CSF, initially negative for the organism, and then she spiked them. We initially did, even though we show only 10 to the minus 4 dilutions here, we did 10 to the minus 6, so neat down to 10 to the minus 6, to kind of get an idea of where we were in the cascade of where you're going to pick up the organism. With this many organisms, we did use whole organism, but it was just so impossible to get any sort of realistic quantitation, and so we just decided we'd use a relative quantitation. If, from our manual extraction, we pick up the 10 to the minus 4 dilution, then that's the one we're going to concentrate on comparing against, and we don't pick up the 10 to the minus 5 and 10 to the minus 6, then 10 to the minus 4 was our philosophical endpoint, and we took, in the end, a few dilutions more concentrated and one less concentrated than our manual method. And with each tube, we used manual method, EasyMag extractor, and EasyOne extractor, and we did all that from the same tube and did it in duplicates. So what were the extraction methods? If you look at it, this is when you begin to see differences in the operational efficiencies of particularly the nucleic acid extractors. And so right here, this is what we were used to, you know, and the techs really good technical hands on this, and they were very used to using a couple kits, didn't bother them at all. Yes, we did use the RNA mini kit for the DNA virus because QIAGEN tells you it does co-precipitate, and indeed we did the experiments to indicate that it actually does, so it's no problem using the RNA mini kit for this. But the EasyMag, you can use all the same reagents. I mean, it's you don't have to get fancy with it when you're talking about the extraction cards and the materials and stuff like that. But with the Easy One, we went with the manufacturer's recommendations. We were in contact with the manufacturers, actually both BMRU and QIAGEN all the time, to say what would you recommend here, what would you recommend there. And you can see it's really complex. And that's one of the things that the tech had concerns about is that's a possibility for error. So we took the serial dilutions, we determined the endpoint on the manual extraction, and the three least concentrated dilutions were compared. And then we set up, we actually didn't do this when we were evaluating it, we just presented raw data. But for the publication, we decided we had to express this some way in some sort of comparison. And so what we did was the efficiency we defined as the CT that is the least concentrated CT from the nucleic acid from the automated extraction. Let me try to explain that better. If the automated extraction, you could get a CT of around 35 at the 10 to the minus 4 dilution. We said, okay, we're going to use this 10 to the minus 4 as our philosophical point of comparison because it's close to the endpoint. You may be able to get out to 39 or 40, but you may not. And so for each of the automated extractors, we use that same dilution to compare it. And this is what Dr. Ginn was. We actually do have little rows of smart cyclers in our laboratory. And so this is what the serial dilutions of enterovirus looked like as an example. And so this is when we were determining what our which dilution we were going to use for our comparison. And you can see here, you know, nice, great hands. Nick had great hands. These are all the dilutions. And on this one, it was actually the 10 to the minus 6th on our initial series of dilutions that was the quote-unquote endpoint. And these actually didn't come out at all. And Nick went ahead and went down to actually 10 to the minus 11 here. Sometimes we didn't hit the endpoint with 6 dilutions and we had to go out a little bit more. So we said, this is our endpoint. And what we found was that the linearity of the nucleic acid extractors and the manual method were really about the same. There was no problem getting good curves for any of these methods. The recovery efficiency of something like HSV is shown here, and this is what the tech first clued into, okay? And she said, you know, the curves really look different. And we're big on curves in our laboratory because if you're looking at a peak fluorescence, this is from the Smart Cycler screen, of around 300 or 400, and in these same dilutions, you get the manual extraction with a peak fluorescence up to 700. You can be concerned that at some point you might start losing it when you're out at your lowest limits of detection. And this is the EasyMag right here, which is showing your peak fluorescence of about 400 to 500. But if you look at where the CTs came off right here, this was like 36 and 40. This one was 34 and 38. And this was 33 and 38. Is that significantly different? Probably not. You know, they all gave positive results. And that, in the end, was our take-home from this whole study, is that if you do this little efficiency calculation, said how good are these nucleic acid extractors with respect to manual, they're all pretty similar with the exception of two things. One is the EasyMag didn't perform as well when you're talking about viscous samples, and that's even with pretreatment with dithiothreatol, anything we could do for it. It did lose that lower end, and that's been reported before in the paper that looked at sputum. And so that's one of the areas where the EasyMag doesn't perform as well. But every other sample, it actually performed very well. And for things like this, it was actually a little bit better. The curves looked a little bit better. The mycoplasma, as I said, we tried a lot of things to try to get this to bump up, including DTT and proteinase K. And while we still use these to get the the optimum sensitivity, if you will, for mycoplasma in a viscous sample, we're still going to miss the very, very, very small amounts of mycoplasma. Because it performs so well with things like pertussis, with things like HSV and EV, we were willing to say, this is okay. You know, it's not going to make or break our decision. And if you look at, this is mycoplasma, and this will show you what the curves looked like. And so this would be the manual extraction, I think. This is the easy one. And this is the easy mag. And so you'll see it just didn't come up quite as robust as the others do if you're talking about a viscous sample. With pertussis in BALs, it didn't require any pretreatment because it's not viscous at all, really. And if you look at the very, very lowest limits of detection, and so if you say that your 10 to the minus 3 dilution is a CT of 35, and you say, let's take it out one more dilution and ask the question, does it pick up that very last dilution? And what we saw was that the easy mag was much more likely to pick up the very, very highest dilution, if you were, the very, very lowest concentration than the manual or the easy one. And internal amplification was always okay. Internal standards here were just fine. And this is an example of what that looked like right here. What you have is the manual, easy one, and easy mag. And the manual, well, the easy mag right here is this red line. You see how it's coming right up? The easy one is right here, and the manual is right there. So at the very, very lowest limits of detection, the easy mag performed better, with the exception of the viscous samples, than either the easy one or the manual extraction. And needless to say, we did tons of runs. I mean, what I'm summarizing in these efficiencies is runs that we selected out of those, but we did tons of runs trying to find endpoints, working with processing changes in the upfront processing. You know, how do we get the best information, the best nucleic acid out of these systems? And so we went back and we said, okay, let's just take all comers and all runs where we really looked at this lowest limit of detection. And we asked the question of 14 runs that were at the very, very lowest limits of detection, which was the most robust system, and it was the easy mag. The other thing that may or may not be useful at this point for this audience is that during the course of the evaluation, when we used the Easy One version 1.0 viral kit, it was very, very substandard when you're talking about enterovirus, and that's a big deal. I mean, you know, you don't want to miss enterovirus. And so what we were seeing here was that we were getting efficiencies that were much less than the Easy Mag or the manual method. But when you look here, they had just come out with a 2.0 kit. And so we actually tried that, and it really improved the Easy One extraction method. So if anyone's using an Easy One, and there are people I understand who are still using the viral 1.0 kit because of there's a logical reason based on another extracting another organism or something like that, it's really not as good by any means as the viral 2.0 kit. So to summarize, pertussis Easy Mag is slightly better. Mycoplasma Easy One is better. The viral Easy One viral 2.0 kit, you need that for your Easy One. And in the end, you know, Easy One and Easy Mag are pretty comparable. And so the question is, what do you pick? You know, and that's where we got into lean thinking. Lean is a method of analyzing your workflow and analyzing the number of steps it takes to get to a result in an objective manner. And what it does is it takes the emotion out of these decisions. And that's something, one thing I think, I agree with Dr. Yen so much, part of my job is to take care of the people who do the work and give them the tools they need to be the most efficient. And in that, yes, people will be happier. People will also get better results. It will be better quality. It will be more standardized. You'll make fewer mistakes. And so that's really what Lean does. And we've implemented Lean in our laboratory. We're still going through it. I think you'll always be going through the implementation because you're always undergoing process improvement. But when Lean came on, we were able to take what the techs had considered to be, that they just observed, and we were able to put it into numbers. And in that, if you show numbers up on a screen, it's almost a no-brainer because you make your decisions based on data instead of by somebody's feelings, even if the feelings are absolutely correct. And the feeling was that the EasyMag was such an easier instrument to use than the EasyWand that that's the one we ended up purchasing, even though it was more expensive. And I don't know about the instrument itself, but the reagents are more expensive. So this is just to introduce you to what it does. It simplifies processes. This is our ice cream social, and this is how we introduced Lean to most of the techs in the laboratory. There were three tables. There was this table, there was this, and this table was over here, and then there was a third table here. And we were batching the request for the ice cream sundaes. Okay, so you'd get five in a batch, and then Kenny would dish out ice cream in five, and Christy would put on chocolate syrup when it was requested. And then she would take it over to Joy, who would put on the whipping cream, and Amanda, who would put on the cherries, and then they would take it over to somebody else who put on the nuts. And when you do that, the first ice cream sundae is out at a minute and 36, the last one's out at a minute and 50, okay? If you put all these together and you do it by single process flow, which means you get one order and you take that through, this is in the middle. This is where they're still batching, but the tables are close together. But you take one sundae at a time, what you'll get to is 32 seconds for the first sundae to come out and a minute 25 for the last sundae to come out. So that's just, that's the introduction to Lean. And the bottom line is, Lean is a thinking production system. It is based on continuous process improvement. As I said, it takes away the emotion out of the decisions. What did we want to look at through Lean processing? One is the flexibility of the platform, which is very clear that already, if you can extract HSV and enterovirus and with the same protocol, it's a lot easier than having to switch protocols and switch cards. It's a much more flexible platform. The ease of use, the software on the EasyMag, the tech said, is much easier to use. The protocols are much easier to use because they're all unified. What is the cost? How much waste do you have? And what really is the throughput? And so what we did was, and this is Nick, who did almost all the work with the EasyMag. Jack, who's also in our development area, is videotaping her. And so you look at all the steps and you dissect it and you say how much was the hands-on time and how many steps did it take to get a result using these three methods. And so what we found here was actually a big shock, I think, to the folks at BMRU initially. And I think there was probably some gasping because what we did was we just, to determine the cost, we just went on the website and we used the list price on the website. And that's fair. But I believe the list price on the website was extremely conservative as it relates to your ability to use reagents efficiently with the EasyMag. And so what we came out with is that the reagents were much more expensive with the EasyMag. The disposables were more expensive than either the EasyOne or manual. The tech time, 64 cents per sample. And that goes back to what Dr. Yen said. You know, you can do several samples in just like 5 minutes of setup time. And I myself have worked the EasyMag. Along with Dr. Yen, if I can do it, anyone can do it. And it's a very, very easy system to use. The total came out at $12.95 if you use the list price on the website. But Nick will actually, she confirmed that you really get a lot more mileage out of the reagents than that would suggest. And in looking at it, if you really maximize your reagents, it really goes down to about $9.57. So it's still more expensive, but it's not a whole lot more expensive. And the fact is, I always say, if your tech can be doing something else, it's more efficient, they're happier, you're making money out of whatever they're doing, and it's just a much better thing to do to maximize the tech time. And so the total operational analysis not only was reflected by the cost analysis, which is shown here, and I've just underlined, the least expensive in each of these areas right here, But also the hands-on time and the total number of steps. And so the hands-on time for the manual is the greatest, and you might expect that. We ran 15 samples, and so this was an estimation of what it took to do 15 samples total hands-on time. And I think the manual, these were 15 samples. This was similar. The Easy One is 37 minutes, and the Easy Mag is 19 minutes, total hands-on time to do that many samples. And so it's much, much more efficient than the manual. But the thing here, which is striking and really surprising, is that the Easy One was actually the most complex of the methods. And you would assume it's the manual, but if you really look at it, there's so much upfront mixing and things like that with the Easy One that's why the tech said, you know, it's really complicated. And these are data to support that impression. In the end, other, let's just say, more subjective points were that every now and then we'd get magnetic bead contamination here, and we'd have to re-spin the tubes at the end of it. And that was a downer. It takes time. Ease of the instrument protocol was here, and the computer was great. As mentioned before, it won't let you make a mistake. It is so idiot-proof that I can do it. Completely walk away, the Easy One, that was an advantage. The Easy Mag is not completely walk away because the best results come from an off-board lysis. But after that, it's walk away. And then less waste here, vary the number of samples, and really do multiple samples of different types in a run. Acknowledgements go to the folks in the laboratory who actually did the work, Dr. Paula Revelle, who's our molecular microbiologist and our clinical microbiologist, who gave useful input into this. The administration who supports this type of evaluation, actually, in retrospect, they went back and found out how much money it took to do as many months of evaluation, and it was about $30,000, which includes tech time. And the reagents were actually given to us by BRMU and QIAGEN, so it wasn't reagents. But it was really a whole lot of tech time involved in doing a very detailed evaluation. And then the companies who supported this and who actually were very open to the results. And that's it. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.